Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks.
Today on The Grave Talks, do we get reincarnated after we die? A conversation with Vincent Treewell. Growing up as a child of the 1970s and 80s, Vincent Treewell spent many years in front of the glowing lights of the television, absorbing episodes of In Search Of and Unsolved Mysteries. He'd spent hours searching the local library for books on the subject, in search of answers himself to the paranormal. Answers to everything from ghosts to past lives to astral projection. Today, we take a deep dive into Vincent's studies and experiences in the world of the paranormal.
Well, I've practically always been interested in the paranormal, the weird, the strange, the out there. I'd say the clearest thing that influenced me was the show In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy.
Sure.
Which was on from roughly when I was like 8 to 14. And that really impacted my life. It's just absolutely fascinating to me. And even at, you know, young age, I knew the difference between Leonard Nimoy, the guy who goes out and looks at the pyramids and stuff, and the characters that he plays like on Star Trek and stuff. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be Leonard Nimoy and go and research these mysteries.
Sure.
And that was a huge influence. Then reading, read a lot of books like Invisible Horizons, just other true, or at least nonfiction books that dealt with different topics that, you know, really were kind of mind expanding. Mm-hmm. You know, I like fiction too, but I really like the nonfiction where they get into people's stories. Yeah. And, you know, their encounters and try to say first, what do you feel happened? Mm-hmm. And what does this mean?
Yeah.
And how is this similar or different to other encounters that people have had? And then when I was a little bit older, I started reading this really, and I subscribe to this day, really great magazine from Britain called Fortean Times. Mm-hmm. And that got me into Charles Fort and all of the research that he had done around the early 20th century with all kinds of, he'd go through the newspapers and find all these documented bizarre events that couldn't be explained. Mm-hmm. Like when fish fall from the sky, mm-hmm. when meat falls from the sky, the Kentucky meat shower, things like that. When people see UFOs, but also when people see dragons, he'd have these things just recorded and compiled, and he had several books, and that absolutely fascinated me. Then the movie The Mothman Prophecies came out. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty good movie, you know. I liked it, but I had to get the book. And the book by John Keel, the movie doesn't begin to scratch the surface. It's a good movie, but it's probably 5% of what's in the book. Mm-hmm. And I read that book and it really blew my mind. And after that, I knew that I had to do something in this field. Mm-hmm. You know, it brought back my Leonard Nimoy years.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm gonna do something here.
Was there a specific area of, you know, paranormal, you know, that interest you from back in the day of the Leonard Nimoy show? Was there like a specific episode or case or segment that you saw that you went, that, you know, that sticks with me? I mean, for example, with me, it was like the Queen Mary episode of Unsolved Mysteries that really kind of got me, you know, like, oh, this is, oh, they do this on TV too. Like that was kind of amazing to me.
Oh yes. I was a huge Unsolved Mysteries fan as well. Mm-hmm. There are several In Search Of episodes that really stand out. The one on the Amityville Horror was probably the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life up to this day. Yeah. That was like 40 some years ago. It was really well done.
Yeah.
The one where they looked at Amelia Earhart's disappearance was really interesting. Mm-hmm. He did an episode on the Kennedy assassination from a totally different perspective that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. They cover a lot of ground. The way they covered Bigfoot and probably one of the disappearing ship episodes, mm-hmm. and the Great Lakes Triangle, that really sticks out, where they've had a lot of, there's almost like a Bermuda Triangle in the Great Lakes.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I live in the Great Lakes, and that
I've sailed on the Badger in Wisconsin many a times from Manitowoc to Ludington, the last steamship or coal ship that's on the lakes. But yeah, it's the lakes have so many interesting stories. I grew up in Wisconsin originally.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay. Yes.
So yeah, it's a very fascinating area when it comes to that sort of stuff. So you had these interests. It was, you know, it sounds a lot like me. I was very much, I didn't have necessarily a specific incident, you know, if you will, but it was more so surrounding myself in these topics and just trying to, you know, and basically searching for answers and just keep getting more questions than answers as you go down these roads, but fascinating nonetheless. So tell me more, as you kind of grew, as you got older, you kind of left off with the Mothman prophecies, very, very intrigued by that. How did it continue from there?
Well, I should go back.
Okay.
I actually did have an experience. Ooh. As a child.
Okay. Let's hear it.
So I'm 7 years old, and I specifically remember the age, and I awoke in the morning, and there was a woman in my room, and she was sitting in like a yoga position, mm-hmm. and she was floating about 3 feet off the ground. And this wasn't a terrifying event, mm-hmm. but it also wasn't like, you know, it just seemed very normal, other than the fact that I know people can't levitate 3 feet off the ground.
Very normal, and, except for the fact there's a woman levitating in front of you.
Yes. And that's it. She wasn't scary. She wasn't beautiful. She was just a regular person. If I saw her at the mall, I wouldn't have, you know, batted an eye.
Sure.
She was wearing kind of like that era. This would be about 1978. Like kind of workout clothes, mm-hmm. and was just in this pose, like floating. And then as she became, this is my perception. Mm-hmm. Okay. As she became aware that I could see her, she broke out of that pose and walked straight through the wall and was gone. And I was not terrified. I was interested. And then, as so often happens, I went right back to sleep. Mm-hmm. When I wake up in the morning, I immediately tell my mother what had happened. And she told me that I was dreaming, but I knew I was not dreaming.
Sure.
I never dream about being in my own room.
Okay.
That's just not a thing that happens to me, child or adult. I don't dream being in my own house. And it was a thing that happened to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and there might be other explanations, but that was my experience. Was I saw this lady, and then she walked through the wall and was gone. And that, you know, that always stuck in my mind as something that happened, and that I believe was a person astrally traveling, you know, having an out-of-body experience. And quite by accident, maybe, or for some reason, ended up in my room, mm-hmm. and then left. And that has always stuck with me.
Sure.
So yeah, you know, that was even before I really got into a lot of the other stuff.
And what an interesting concept too, the astro traveling that it seems some are able to do, and then essentially they come across as ghosts to others, but they're not a dead person. They're very much living and somehow are able to do this. Do you think the woman that you saw could see you? Do you think you maybe just caught her in the moment of, okay, I'm going to snap out of this? Do you think she was aware of what she was doing?
I think she could definitely see me.
Okay.
And that once she realized that I could see her, then she probably decided to return to her body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speculating, but that's the impression that I got.
Sure.
That she's just there. Maybe there was something drawing her there that was not related to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like perhaps a person who'd lived at that house earlier.
Yeah.
Could be a lot of things. For some reason she was there, but she did not want to interact with me.
Yeah.
And did not want to, you know, scare me or anything. Mm-hmm. And so she just left.
And that's an interesting thing. I mean, were you able to dig any more into, because immediately we're going to think ghost, but I like your idea better. Did you look into the history of the home at all? What did you were able to track? I mean, you were seven, but I'm saying later in life, were you able to do any sort of digging or anything like that to kind of maybe connect some dots as to, you know, theoretically who may have some interest in this house? Do you know the history of the house?
That house is actually no longer even there.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never been, I guess, I've never followed up on it.
Okay.
I guess because it was such a one-off encounter that I never saw that lady again.
Yeah.
And I lived there for another decade.
Mm-hmm.
And never, you know, had any thing like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of really didn't give it another thought. No, I don't think she was a dead person. I think she was a traveler. Now I have something to look up. Yes, that's a good idea. Why would she be traveling there?
How did you come? Because at the age of seven, I'm guessing you're not assuming this is someone, you know, astro traveling by themselves. At what point in life did you kind of come across that aha moment of like, maybe that wasn't a ghost, maybe that was this, and what was that like?
This I can tell you exactly. That was about 5 years later, so I'd be about 12, and I got a paperback copy of Wisdom of the Ancients, which I can't even recall the author, but it discussed a lot of paranormal and just metaphysical practices and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's where they started talking about traveling outside your body and meditation and being able to induce a controlled OBE. And as soon as I read about that, bang, it was like, oh yes, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. That was that lady. And that made a lot of sense to me. And then when I later read Communion, and Willie Schreiber was talking about being outside of his body and looking exactly like himself.
Mm-hmm.
That made sense to me that, yes, that's what it was. Because she did not look like a person from another time. She looked like totally normal.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.